every fortnight, we have Myra with us from the Citizens Advice Spain, and she is here with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
And fresh from your starring performance last night at a Brexit seminar, Myra.
I'm not sure about starring. I'm not sure about starring. As you know, I have a lot to say, and I did have a lot to say. Can I quickly say hello to a couple who came up to the exhibition, property exhibition I was at in Manchester to say they listened to the programme.
Marvellous.
So, hello.
Good, that's fantastic. How was Manchester?
Oh,
raining?
It was snowing, but it was beautiful. It was like a metropolis, all these buildings and the way they're building. I was like a kid, you know, like, you know, when we're used to smaller places here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful city. I mean, you're certainly doing the frozen north, aren't you? You've done Glasgow, you've done Manchester. You've got to go a bit warmer next time.
I think May, if they invite me, May in London, that will be fun.
Yeah,
it's so nice to go back when you haven't been back for years and years and years. And no dog poo on the roads.
Really?
Nope.
How interesting.
Lots of poor people begging, though.
That's a whole other story. A whole other story. Before we begin, I just, sorry to throw this at you, but I did ask if people had any questions about anything just to email in. So we'll start with one, if you don't mind.
No.
This is Annie from Murcia, who says, good morning to both of us. As a UK citizen holding residential status in Spain, after Brexit, may I be able to move, live and work in other EU countries as freely as we did when we moved to Spain before Brexit? Or do we have the same status as any UK citizen living in the UK after Brexit? Much appreciated.
So glad she's asked that question.
Good.
Because I tried to bring it up last night. It didn't come up. What she's talking about is Article 32, which stopped us having on the agreement.
Yeah.
The agreement that we can say now, because the ambassador last night also said it is... It just has to be put into law. It is the one.
Right. So the ambassador you're referring to here, last night you did a Brexit seminar in Manila, which is in the Costa del Sol. And there was Simon Manley, who is the British ambassador to Spain, and also Charmaine, who's been on this show, the British consul to Andalusia as well, and quite a few other people actually as well, weren't you?
Yes.
And you had did you have an aperitif served by Jesus at 8:45?
Yes, I think I had two. My head hurts. I'm not a good drinker. My head hurts. It was so delicious.
So Annie's question then. So will we be able to live, move and work in other EU countries as freely as we did?
Yes, because they removed Article 32, which prohibited us from doing so.
Right.
So, of course, everybody still says nothing's decided until it's decided.
Mm.
But seeing that, as I said last night, I used a silly expression about the agreement, and I said, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it is a duck.
Yeah.
I've been following this, and I knew from the December 8th agreement that things weren't going to change much, but a lot of people just keep saying, well, you can't know. But I was so glad that the ambassador to Spain also reassured people, and he's in the paper today saying everything will be all right during the transition period.
Is that right? Is that not kind of akin to the British government saying it was highly likely that it was the Russians who did the poisoning in Salisbury? That's a great get-out-of-jail-free card, isn't it?
Yes,
highly likely.
You learn legal terms. I'm a paralegal, as you know, and you learn legal terms, and we have to be very careful, so we sort of also use expressions like that.
Yes.
You have to protect yourself.
Yes.
So that's why it's highly likely.
So what's highly likely, according to Simon Manley, then? What's he put in the newspaper? What's in the newspaper today, then, that he's highly likely? So we're all going to be fine, are we? We're all going to be absolutely fine, and no problem.
The ambassador says UK expat rights are safe for the Brexit transition. Notice the word transition.
Right.
Of course, that was discussed, and then I went on my long rant about how I think that our rights are being eroded, our residency rights.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not the most popular person in the world, but my thing is citizens.
Absolutely.
And we are the people that do the hands-on, we are the people contact. But now we will be sending a lot of people, if problems start to occur, we will direct them to the consul.
This is an interesting dilemma, isn't it? Because here we have, we obviously have a consul. How easy is it to get to them if you're, you know, a member of the public? That's an interesting question. We've had Simon on the show, we've had Charmaine on the show, and good work they do. But how can they possibly know any more about this than anybody else does? Or is there something that they know that we don't?
I think Simon Manley kept to the main points.
Right.
He didn't elaborate.
Okay.
I'm afraid I did, because I am concerned for the first time. Well, not for the first time. I am now concerned because, as you know, I communicate with Brussels. UK doesn't communicate with Citizens Advice. Both teams in Brussels do. And I've been pushing and saying that I'm a little bit... we're concerned about the reciprocal arrangements, again, because UK... had not adhered to the freedom of movement directive.
Yeah.
And because all the EU's poor loves in lots of them were in Manchester, working at the hotel. I was speaking Spanish without realizing it. They haven't got their residency certificates that we have, so it's to be reciprocal. And I gave two points as to why, or three, why I think Spain will take up the option to ask us to change our residency documents.
Yes.
And that's where I think the problems will arise for many.
Yeah, and this is for people who already have residency.
And permanent residence, because we've all been pushing for permanent residency, as you know.
Yeah.
But we also, us with permanent residency, will also have to go through possibly hoops. And as I said last night, knowing the Spanish administrative system, knowing what they've done in the past, systematic checks that were illegal on pensioners, for example, it's now going to be legal to do those systematic checks.
Mm.
And besides the criminality check, security check, there are other documents they can ask for. And to me, it's tantamount to reapplication for residency. And
this is post-transition?
Yes.
Not during transition?
No, that's why I think everything's all right. It's all right to say everything's all right during transition.
Yeah.
After that, we must apply for our... If Spain takes this option, I can explain to you why it's obvious it will. I haven't been wrong. I haven't been wrong because I've been following it. So, and if I am ever wrong, I'll put my hands up. But so far, everything that I've thought has come to pass. So it'll be after the transition period. We have at least 6 months before they can start asking us to update our document, which our document could even be biometric, it's called, isn't it? So we could have the card. That's the good thing about it.
As long as it's made in France, that's all right.
Yes, with the passport, yes?
Yes.
Well, the thing is, Spain will still be a member, EU member state, so they can really put their business anywhere.
Yeah, no. So just to kind of, I'm trying to get a picture for those of us who weren't at your seminar last night. What was the? It was well attended. What were the main concerns of people who attended that, who had the chance to put questions to the British ambassador?
It was the usual. It was healthcare, pensions. Somebody asked about a no deal, but the ambassador assured them that Britain was not going for a no deal.
Mm.
And I don't think they would either, would they? There'd be no reason to go for a no deal.
No.
And I think that's why I think citizens' rights, to me, has been pushed. It's already done. It's solved. Mm. It says on the agreement, the latest agreement, 19th of March, everything's coloured in green on the citizens' rights, not on Ireland and the other topics, of course, citizens' rights. And it does say that what's in green is the agreement. They've just got to do a few little tweaks to it. So we know that that is it.
Now, this happened in Manilva, which is down the western end of the Costa del Sol. And, of course, one of the sticking points could quite easily be Gibraltar, a subject very close to your heart.
Discussed.
Did that come up last night?
Yes, that was discussed just again, that things will be okay during the transition period, that things will remain the same. I think we know that. The transition period, I was being asked about that before the 19th and before the latest agreement, and I have always thought we would have to have, Britain would not only have to, Britain asked for the transition period, but it would have to include the four freedoms which gave citizens' rights. And again, I've been proved right, citizens' rights are there, but I'm not happy with, because we have already acquired our rights. I'm not asking for European citizenship. There are groups trying to get that.
Yeah.
I'm quite clear that the treaty says that we must be a member of an EU state for that. So I accept that.
Yeah.
I like to be logical, believe
course.
It or not.
Well, it's always nice to have logic in the world, isn't it, in these days of highly likelies, yes.
But that shouldn't alter the fact that we have legally, all of us here, either permanent or not, have legally applied for our residency. And I brought up chapter 16, which was mentioned in the new agreement, but it's also in the European directive. So there's been contradictions.
We are inviting calls, as always. 952-78-4000 is our number, and studio at tre.radio. Let's take one of those calls now. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Good morning, Myra. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. So, Myra, you're saying that this freedom of movement for us to be able to move from one EU state to another is okay during the transition period, but there's no guarantee for that after the transition period. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. We're being led to believe that that has been taken out totally. What was taken out is that we would not have freedom of movement. So not only we're talking about long-term, what they're saying as well is that we can leave Spain with our passports or ID, whatever we have, and we can enter the same with no visas, nothing else, and that really we can say that we will have freedom of movement around Europe, because we had made the choice to take up that offer, hadn't we? And we've moved to EU state. So we're leaving a EU state, going to another EU state. Though we haven't got, though we're likely to be third country nationals, this appears to be that it'll continue.
So we will have, just to clarify, we will have freedom of movement after the transition period.
Well, I'm not going to say it like that. I'm going to say it appears that, yes, we will have. Just in case somebody does anything. At the moment, we will have. If nothing changes, we will have.
Right, that's great. Now, the second question is, basically, it doesn't sound as though... I mean, you're trying so hard to put this point over about reapplication. And again, I'm going to contribute to CA. Just to tell everybody, they can contribute to CAB. I got the bank details from Myra. And please give. I did last year, and I'm going to do again this year, because you'll think you're amazing. But it didn't sound to me as though you got anywhere putting this point about reapplication. Nobody was listening to you. I'll hang up and listen, Myra. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Cheers.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah.
And thank you for donating.
Yeah, that's very kind, very kind. Is anyone listening to you?
So I wonder if Sharon was there last night.
No, Sharon's in the Costa Blanca.
Costa Blanca. The citizens are listening to me, and after this show we'll go on our website.
Yeah.
And I will also draft my appraisal of the agreement.
The problem is for citizens, Myra, that we do expect that everybody is telling us the truth and singing off the same hymn sheet, and that's sometimes hard to work out who to turn to. And I'm puzzled, and I'm not asking you to explain why, because you probably don't know why. I'm puzzled as a bystander as to why the people like Simon Manley and the consul and everybody who's involved in this from the political side are not falling over themselves to ask for your help, because you're the people on the street who are being asked these questions every single day.
I can only remember something way back before Citizens Advice Bureau was in existence, when I had the Costa Advice Bureau, and I went, and I have to be honest, and I went to a seminar with the consul, and the vice consul from Rosalind said they do not deal with citizens' advice. I do remember that quite clearly.
So it doesn't make any sense.
No, but they deal with brat packs or things like that. I don't understand why, but I'm not grovelling anymore.
No.
I did last night for the last time. We're on our own, and we will carry on working just like we're working, and our citizens are appreciating it. But if we find that we need to, we will direct people to the consul.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely what you should be doing, because they're the ones who allegedly have the answers. What people sometimes forget about what you're doing is, A, it's a voluntary thing, and B, you're not telling people what to do. You're trying to work your way, to pardon the pun, through the mire of nonsense and give the actual facts as they are apparent.
Because we're independent. Our hands are not tied. We're not part of the consulate or the embassy. Yeah. We're not working for the British government. Mm. We're not funded by the British government.
How does it work in the UK, Myra? Just sorry to interrupt you, but how would that work in the UK? Does the citizens' advice in the UK interact in a way that you don't?
Yes, with the consuls and everything, with the councils. Yeah. In fact, they get their funding there, but they can go against laws, as they do with, you know, the recently they campaigned and won on some where people weren't getting a payment they should get. So it's totally different. I don't know. One day somebody will tell me, or they'll tell me to be quiet.
But one would think, if you were in a position to help people as the ambassador and his assistant are, that you would be very glad of somebody who is working out in the field collecting the information from the people who really want to know the answer to the question and finding out what questions need to be answered.
Yes. I do know that they have stepped in, because we've been communicating with people who have really serious problems with their residency, and in some cases they have stepped in. So this is why I think it would be really good if we send many people to them, so that they can step in when this time comes.
Absolutely.
I mean, Spain, why do I think Spain will ask us to change our... Shall I say
you're
that?
Fairly you're fairly definite about that, and you've been you've been consistent about it as well, which is quite interesting.
Why do I think? And I had it all written down last night, so let me see.
So you're talking here about people who have residency and who have permanent residency.
Yes.
Right.
This reciprocal thing that I have always fought against and tried to get Brussels to remove it, because the fact that UK EU citizens in the UK do not have their residency certificate should not mean that we have to go through the... jump through the same hoops, because we've got ours and we did it legally. So I'm asking for our rights not to be taken away.
Yeah.
And I'll explain why it could affect some pensioners and a lot of people. So why would they change? Ask us.
Yes.
Number one is because it's reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to see their Spanish counterparts having to go through this system.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we're on the wrong register. We will be on the wrong register. We're on the register for citizens from the European Community. We won't be.
Right. Explain that a bit more.
Okay, so we're EU citizens now. We're on the register, the police register for EU citizens.
Ah, okay.
We must go on the foreigners register, surely.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really mess up the whole thing in Spain and their figures and saying, oh, we've got 6 million European or 3 million people from the European Community. No, we've got those minus the British nationals now, the UK nationals.
Yeah.
So that's another reason.
I remember being on the wrong register at school once, and it wasn't very pleasant, Myra. So every time they called out my name, I was on the wrong register.
It's awful
to be on the wrong register at all.
So I can't see how... Basically, those two will do it, but that's the main one. I cannot see.
Mm.
Also, Spain does like to have a system, a clear out now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them a good chance to see who should be here and who shouldn't be there.
Yes.
Of course, we think of the pensioners who had sufficient resources when they first came here.
Yep.
Now the pound's low, they've got their home, and that should be taken into consideration, but it's not. And they may not have sufficient resources as far as the state is concerned, but they've got sufficient resources because they've got no rent to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the criminality check, it seems that they're on your records for 100 years. As I said last night, you might have stolen a bun when you're seven. How will Spain look at that and just go, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to go into details. I worry about the administrative officers here and anybody who will have gone through getting their residency or trying to update a permanent residency will agree with me that it's often a bureaucratic nightmare.
Of course.
Now, are we going to be popular when all of us are going to now... I cannot see us keeping our document, and the option is there.
Can the goalposts be moved? So, in other words, the requirements for residency, can they be moved? Presumably they can. Spanish could just say, actually, we're going to change the requirements for residency so that instead of having X, whatever it is, in the bank, you've got to have Y, and instead of having B, you've got to have C. Can they do that?
No, because the agreement states that they cannot make it any more difficult.
Ah, okay.
They have to, if they want to do anything, they can make it easier, so they could scrub all that. Say, you're permanent resident, we're just going to give you a new pretty card. Here it is, biometric with your photo. But at the moment, this is what the agreement, and I'm not very happy with Brussels now.
Mm.
You know, I have been, because I think they've led us down to it. You have to use your valid passport or ID card, but it's passport in our case.
Yeah.
And then they can ask you to prove your marital, your civil status, if you're working, that you're in employment, if you're self-sufficient or a pensioner, that you have enough resources, and you all have healthcare, if you're a student. Basically, everything that was in the first in the European directive for us to come here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It carries on, and it gives all. It's actually.
They can't make it more difficult. That's
not
important.
More difficult, but I think that's going to be difficult enough, because we really do not want to go, all of us, with a pile of paper.
I'm trying to think here. You know, all the people with all the piles of paper all at the same time. That just doesn't bear thinking about in Spain.
You would also think we're not going to be the most popular, are we? Because
we
know civil servants are not the ones here to really want to do extra work, and we're going to cause a lot of extra work. Let's see if Can you tell me that Spain could say no? We'll keep that. That says our certificates that clearly says
the wrong register. Yeah,
that we're on the register for citizens from the European member states, basically.
Interesting. Okay, now. All of that, and still tied in with all of that, is something else you want to talk about, and we haven't got long left, so let's talk about it now, and then we can get back to the other one if we have to, which is healthcare. You wanted to mention healthcare.
Yes. I was going to just mention, because it's surprising how many people are not aware of what they're titled to. I flew back on the plane with a lady next to me who told me she wasn't a resident, and we chatted, and I told her, went through the process of registering, and then I double-checked, and I said, what have you got? And she told me she had the green A4. I said, you are a resident. Herself and her son are residents, the husband... Well, not so. A lot of people don't know. So she didn't realise she's also entitled to free healthcare in Spain.
Right.
So we'll start. There's the number one, which is the simple one, isn't it? You're in employment here.
So, in other words, and now, of course, you say that's simple, but it's not, because you could be self-employed or you could be employed by a company.
Yes.
And there are different rules.
Exactly. Yep. So, number one, you're employed by a company or a business.
Yep.
They're paying your social security system. You should be a resident then to get to get your health care. But a lot of people have actually got through the web and they've only got an NIE and they've worked and got health care.
Yeah.
Number two, self-employed.
Yep.
You pay for your healthcare. There's all sorts of systems available now.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, in these two cases, your family are also covered, which I think is marvellous. Your partner. Partner as well. They're very hard for social security system to accept their own regulations.
Mm-hmm.
A stable relationship.
And is this the one where we come back to only if you've registered yourself as a partner?
No.
No.
No. Doesn't say that at all.
Right.
Then we've got the early retiree and the people that come out here self-sufficient.
Yeah.
They decide to spend X amount of years here living off savings.
Yeah.
Their only option they have is private healthcare, usually, to get residency.
Yes.
Sorry, not the only option. Then the convenio especial, which is a special agreement where they can pay into the national health system.
And with the private healthcare, am I correct in saying that the gotcha there is it can't be just any old private healthcare? It has to be a private healthcare with no co-payments involved in
it. Yes, and also that it covers you the same as the... paying into the National Health Service.
Right, and that, of course, if it was a no co-payment, so in other words, for those who don't know what I'm talking about here, if you take out private health care, sometimes they say, oh, well, it's €12 every time that you go and see a doctor or go to a hospital, whatever it might be, that's a co-payment, and that's not acceptable in terms of obtaining residency, so you have to get a different health care, which, of course, is then more expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's more expensive, and also it doesn't usually, rarely covers pre-existing conditions.
Indeed.
So this is why the...
Which could be a problem for a lot of people.
The special agreement, which is in most, not all of the regions, but it is in basically the ones where we all live, us being the foreigners, from the community of Europe at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the health question is not a European question. If you're third country citizen, you can also apply.
And a quick reminder, convenio especial, what's that?
It's a special agreement where you pay into the National Health System before your pensioner at €60 a month, covers pre-existing condition, doesn't cover your prescriptions, doesn't cover prostheses, false hips, that sort
doesn't
of thing.
Doesn't matter if you're working or not?
They won't give it to you if you're working because they'll know that you can get health care.
Right.
It's only for those that cannot avail for health care.
Okay.
Then if you're retired...
Okay.
Of course, we know if you're a state pensioner, with a state pension, you apply for your S1, which will change because that's a European form, that's social coordination, but Britain has assured, and again, the ambassador assured the British that they, those that are here, would be still looked after, would get their health care. And I also brought up, I don't know why the UK government doesn't say why it's an agreement between Spain and the UK. It's only your S1 that's got to do with social coordination. So they get their health care like that. And also, state pensioners, when they go back to the UK now, from a change in the regulations in April, I believe, of 2016, they will be treated in the UK as though they resided there. Good thing the government did the best of both
worlds.
That's
interesting, yeah.
Yes, that's very good. That's just for state pensioners.
Right, okay.
So they're okay. And then all those, and so many people still don't know, who were residents before April 2012 are entitled to go to the Social Security office and ask to be put on for healthcare and be given a number, a social security number, so they can ask for their assistencia sanitaria, their health card.
Right. Why would they not have already had that then, if they were resident before? It's not an automatic process.
The lady on the plane didn't know.
Now so you're not given it. When you fill out the documents as a resident, you don't get given it automatically.
No.
Of course
so she's been a resident for over, I think, 18 years, and she's traipsing down to the Social Security office to get hers. I'm just surprised. But then I think our website has become the website that's informing people.
Yeah, well, it is. You're not wrong. We've only got about two minutes left. Ha, good morning. You're live on Thierry. Who's that?
Good morning, Bill. Hans from Daniel.
Hi, Hans.
Maybe I can scare a few Brexiteers this morning.
Go on, Hans.
No, just telling you what happens to me at the moment. Yep. I'm obviously Austrian. I have no problem. But I got married to a Russian woman now 16 years ago.
Highly likely that you got married to a Russian woman.
Yes. Now, well, she brought her son over. He was 5 years old. He's getting now 22, so imagine. He's living 17 years in Spain.
Yep.
But obviously, when my now ex-wife got divorced from me, she lost the status of being married with a European, which could as well happen to the Brits after the transition period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are desperately now trying to get a residencia again for him because, poor guy, he had only a short residencia because he was a child, and she had a 10-year long, so hers is still valid for the next 2 years. That's why she's desperately trying to get Spanish nationality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another thing which is not easy at all.
No, nationality, we've had that discussion.
Hans, yeah. Can I ask you to contact us? Because not everybody, once a divorce, loses the healthcare rights. It depends how long you were married for. How long were you married before you divorced?
No, the healthcare rights are not the problem. He just doesn't get any paperwork anymore. He cannot work. He's just hanging around. Your son? My stepson.
Yes, because he's your stepson. Adopt him.
Yeah, well, they said, no, let's prove that his mother can look after him. And paying a part of the €800 pension and the €1,400 rental income she has, so it's a fine €1,200. But that's far not enough for the Spanish government, which wrote us back. She would have to earn at least €1,800 to be able to look as well after her son staying in Spain.
I think they're asking too much. For
that's
that
a lot
amount.
Of money.
Yes,
that's
I think they've got the... On our website, you can find minimum resources for residency, and then she can have something to argue about.
Twice here in Altea, where we belong to.
Yes, remember that the administrative officers don't always give you the right information, so please check on our site, because it really is a lot. I mean, for a couple, for one person, it's only 5,000 odd a year.
Just to say that people, if you lose your status of being a European, you should really be, the Brits should really be aware that they have to have enough income. And to get Spanish nationality, just the language test, which had to pass my wife, and she speaks very good Spanish, Bill, she passed the language test, but she failed the other test.
The knowledge test, the knowledge of Spain, yes.
The knowledge of Spain, and they had questions like the highest mountain in the peninsula, Iberica, palaces of the king, and all those. She made only three questions wrong, and she failed.
Yeah.
So she has to go again. And
a lot of people don't want to become Spanish nationals.
Well, I know about English living here, because there are lots of Brit living here, said, well, I'll maybe find out the Spanish nationality. I got a Spanish passport. I said, you don't even speak half enough good Spanish to pass the first test.
And do they know then that they won't have choice of inheritance in their wills? They won't have choice if they're Spanish. They have to leave to the children, whether they like them or not. Only a third is of choice. So it's all on our site, Hans. It's really...
You know what about the knowledge test? My gym, after in the sauna, I asked four or five Spaniards, and not anyone could answer the questions which my wife failed. Nobody had a clue.
Apparently, it's the same in the UK.
Yeah, it
the
is.
British
it's very difficult, the UK. I've seen the test. It's really...
Have a good day, because your time is finishing up.
Okay, Hans, thank you very much. As always, appreciate it, sir. And as they say in Austria, I'll be back. That was one of them, wasn't it? I said that. And you indeed will be back in a couple of weeks. People want to find out more. All they need to do is Google Citizens Advice Spain, and you will find your not only Facebook page, but your fantastic website as well. Go along, because all of this is not going to get any easier by the look of it. And instead of just listening to the pub talk, find out some facts about it. And that's the place to go. Myra, as always, we thank you for coming in, and we thank you and your colleagues for all the work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you for
appreciate
having
it.
Us on.